worship the Lord. Trust in His signs, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. We know His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all you people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Good morning, and welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Lee Prater will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to participate in that service. At 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be leading the continuing study of church history and also the discipleship class at 4 p.m. on key Bible verses. Key Bible words. At our 5 p.m. service today, our guest speaker is Greg Tomlinson, who will be speaking on the marriage series. Today, he will be speaking on Christ in marriage. On Wednesday at 6 p.m., Mrs. Helen Menig will continue teaching the class on healthful nutrition, followed at 7:30 p.m. By our Wednesday evening prayer service. We will again be viewing and discussing Dr. R.C. Sproul's lecture series. The current subject is titled Salvation Guaranteed. After that, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services, as many of you know, are being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band, and also live worldwide on the internet on our website at www.bethelmorganhill.org. Our 5 p.m. Sunday services are broadcast live on the internet as well, and beginning in October, our Wednesday evening service will be broadcast live on the internet also. As many of you know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero departed yesterday for a two-week vacation, well-deserved, I might add, and we always miss them, but we are pleased. We have our great friend, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, with us today and next Sunday to bring us teaching from the Word of God. We thank God that He has recently brought Pastor Van Dyken through a very difficult time of serious health issues, and we certainly are grateful and benefit from His presence and His teaching. For those again, who may not know, God has preserved Pastor Van Dyken throughout his lifetime. Some areas such as the perils of aerial combat in World War II, and as the supervising chaplain in the war in Vietnam. He has pastored church congregations and has never retired and probably never will from teaching and preaching Christ. So thank you, Pastor, for being with us today. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and so let us begin our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. Continue our worship with hymn number 34, Immortal Invisible. Please stand as we sing hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you. pray. Our Father in heaven, we have gathered as thy people in thy house. And even as we realize that we come here to a holy God, with God's holy people who love thee, we realize, our Father, that as we look back on the week that we have just left, that there are many things we should have done that we didn't do. And there are things that we should not have done, we have done. We have fallen far short from the marriage that thou dost give unto us through Jesus Christ for everlasting life. And we pray, our Father, that as we confess our sins, the sins of commission and the sins of omission, that in thy mercy and in thy power, thou wilt give us complete atonement in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Your morning offering will be received.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible in the pew, we don't have that page, but hopefully you'll find it. And we will be reading Matthew chapter 6, verses... I'm going to double check this just to be sure. Pastor, that's
starting with the ninth verse.
Matthew 6, 9 through 14. This was a last minute change, which is quite evident. And so we're looking forward to hearing the preaching on this. Okay, this is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the high privilege of coming to you in prayer and worship because of your love and mercy in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be our sin bearer and our Savior. We thank you that he has revealed you to us, that we now know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for your mighty works in creation and in history for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we are also benefactors. We pray for wisdom and obedience to your statutes. We pray now for your servant, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, as he comes to teach us from your word. Bless him and guide him and give us understanding so that we may learn more about you and apply what we hear to our daily lives. We pray for any unbelievers who are listening here or on the radio or the internet that through the hearing of the gospel, they may believe it and know the joy of your salvation and be rescued from judgment and condemnation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Lots of unpredictable things can happen at any time. I just lost my microphone. It's so good being able to be here with you folks again. I love your pastor, Dr. Otero. We see each other about once a month, and we have coffee, or generally even lunch together. Been a little bit different since both of us have left the Alameda Reformed Church because of the changes that have gone on. But we still find it a joy being together. I want to do something today special. I want us to look deeper into what we can see in Jesus, what Jesus says when he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And try to fully realize that God is our Father. I'm going to be stressing that particular point. When we speak of God as our Father, I don't mean the Father that God has given us on earth along with the Mother, but I'm speaking about the spiritual Father. And that is so vitally important, and I hope that each one of us may find it just a little more available to us in our prayers. Because Jesus, when he taught us, said, when you pray, say, "Our Father." And that's the from where I am bringing my message. Jesus introduces the Father to us. The Lord's Prayer in itself underlines the fact that Jesus didn't say, now when you pray, say, Jesus in heaven, or Holy Spirit in heaven, or God in heaven, but in a very personal way, our Father in heaven. Later on, we're going to look at that one place where the Lord himself calls God Abba Father, meaning Daddy Father. My hope is that today we may be able to look into what God is telling us about a very precious truth, so that you and I will come to know our Father in heaven that much the better. In Psalm 33, the sixth verse, the Lord is called, the creator of the heavens and earth is called the Lord. And we read in Psalm 33, the sixth verse, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Scripture does not go into much detail about how God did it, because man cannot understand, when we find, as we will in our message, that God made everything out of nothing. That doesn't make sense with us. The world in which we live will not accept that. I mean, the world which is outside of the Christian, true Christian world. And so we come to know other things that indicate what that great creation was and who our Father really is. Your Father, and I'm talking to you, each one of you, your Father was the creator of the universe. Can you imagine that? Your Father. You don't have to look at all these scientists, and some of the things they say is good, but they try to circumvent the whole concept of creation. But we will not do that, because our Father made it, and that's such a wonderful thing. So we'll be talking about your Father. Your Father was in creation, did it for one major reason, and that is he wanted to prepare a place for you on earth. Now, we're going to talk again about preparing another place, but God made this universe not for the animals, not for the birds in the skies, nor the fishes or anything else. He made it for you, human beings. And that's why we need to look at this whole concept about the Father. Your Father created his children after he finished. And we could read that in Genesis, the first chapter, the 27th verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Can you imagine that? Now, all of the rest of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the daylight, and all the other things, and then the animals, one by one. And then he stopped. Why can't the world understand that? Then God stopped and said, I am going to create man in my own image. And that is beyond our conception, really. When Jesus tells us that God created us in his image. But it's a tremendous thing. Our Father made you and me special. We're different. That's what it means to be in God's creation, God's creature, in this way. Not as the animals in the world in which we live, but only as God, who wanted us for a special purpose, made us. You see, he's your real Father, and we are his real children. Listen to all of what the universe says about our Father, and we'll look at that. First of all, after God created that universe, what did he do? He put you and me in charge. Scripture tells us. Notice in God's word, Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let him have, listen to this, dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, with every creeping thing upon the earth. You know what? Your father put you in charge. Not as the scientists and others think that they know all these things, But he put you in charge because he made this world for your benefit. Of course, for his own glory, but in a very wonderful way, he did that. Notice, when he put us in charge, he said, let him, meaning all mankind, have dominion over all the earth. And he made it explicitly different than anything else. You and I, if we want to make something, if you want to build an automobile or if you want to build a house, you've got to have materials, either the metal for the car and that, those things, or the wood for the house and all of the rest. God created it out of nothing. Of course, ungodly scientists, who may be very wise in so many ways, can't understand what this means. And so they deny it. They push it aside. You and I don't understand it either. But who can fully understand God? We never can. Even in eternity, we won't understand God perfectly, because then we would be God too. But we are always going to be under his control, but he will always be our Father in heaven. Your Father did it, and when he finished it, he said this in Genesis 1:18, and God saw that it was good. We just finished a few moments ago our intercessory prayer in which we confessed our sins. And now we come to realize that Adam added good. There wasn't a thing wrong with the universe. Not a thing wrong with the flowers and the trees. The flowers bloomed all year long. The trees in the Garden of Eden bear their fruit all year long. There's no such thing as fall when everything came to a conclusion. All of that is a result of sin. And we go through that and we see that. But God created it all out of nothing. Your Father did that. Your Father did that. Don't ever give up the privilege of knowing that he's your Father and that he's the one that did it. Much better than anybody can explain in history books or in books which relate to science. But our Word of God says this. But, you know, our God, because of this, has come to a personal relationship with me, with you and me. Not with the animals. The animals are there, but God doesn't speak to animals. He speaks to you. And you do not speak to an animal or a statue or something else. You speak directly to Father, our Father who art in heaven. We have a personal relationship. We so often don't really realize that. That when you pray, God listens. When you pray, God listens. Now I know there's many things that come into our mind. Why can't I have that? Or why can't I have this? I've asked God for it. Well, perhaps a poor but a good thing which is like that is our parents. As children, we come and ask, Daddy, can I have this? Mama may have that. And it's not good in mother and daddy's eyes, or we shouldn't have it at that time. And so father and mother say, no, you can't have it. Well, God does the same thing. He does everything for your good and my good, and he sets us in control. But he has a personal relationship with us. It's so personal that we read in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 15th verse, these words. Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. That's Daddy, Father. That's the way he wants you to understand him. You see, you don't talk to a neighbor's father and call him Daddy. No, it's only your own father in a human sense. But God has said, I want to go beyond that with you. There's a time, and Jesus gave us the example that God is our personal Father, and we are his personal children. Don't ever let that get out of your thinking, because that is so precious. The world doesn't have it. The world fights against that constantly. I'm so thankful for a Sunday service when I can be separated from that world in TV and all the other ways to be with God's people. And one of the other things about being with God's people is, we're going to be good friends now because we're going to know each other through all of eternity. We're going to be in heaven together because God created us a little different. And then he watched over us all this time. And we read again in the Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 29th verse, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father." But listen to this. "But the very hairs of your head are numbered." We can't understand that, can we? I don't have quite as much to have numbered as you folks do. Especially you ladies with your beautiful long hair and all of it. But God is saying this in the Word of God. So he says, there is not even the minutest thing of your life that God is not in control of and knows. Your Father knows you. What a blessed and wonderful thing. And he knows what you need. And we read in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need before ye ask him." Isn't that wonderful? But don't be afraid to ask him. In all things which are good, it's good to ask God, to have a communion with God. We look in the Word of God, and while Jesus was on earth, it said that he separated himself even from not only the crowds, but even from his disciples in some cases, and just got off alone and talked with his Father. But you see, he wants us to know that that's what he did, and that's what we can do. We can talk to our Father. When we pray to our Father in heaven, we show him that we believe in him. We show him that we need him. Oh, you may say, well, listen, I've got $1 million in the bank. I don't have to ask for my daily food. Oh, yes, you do. If you're a child of God, that $1 million or whatever you have, God has given to you. And you again thank him for all of that. And even ask for things that you don't have and that you really need. And sometimes God answers your prayer with yes. But sometimes he also answers it, no, my child, it's no. And then sometimes a third way, just wait, have patience. These are the things in the way that God looks after us. Talk to your Father and he will hear you. We read in Hebrews 11th chapter, the 6th verse, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." You see what Scripture tells us? You seek God not only by reading Scripture, and that is emphatically necessary, but also in talking to him, in your inner chamber. Now, I want to bring you up to date, and I think I have done this in the times past, about one of the trends that there is among Christian people. A pastor or a leading elder may pray and say, "I thank you, God, and I pray for this." Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." Now, if you want to go into your inner closet, as Jesus says, then you can say, "I." When you're in a group, even if there's just one other person, you don't say, "I want this, God," or "I want that." It's we. We pray together because we walk through life's pathway together. And we meet our God in that same phrase. "He that cometh to me must believe." And that's so important. And so you must know that God is going to give you what you need. And he's going to keep away from you what you shouldn't have. And sometimes we shake our head and don't like that. But it'll only be when we get to heaven why God really did that. These are hard things. But not only that, God has given us an inheritance. An inheritance. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Why? "That where I am, there ye may be." Jesus says, "I want you. I love you. I chose you before the foundation of the world. I want you, and I want you after life takes you away. And you and I will be with our Father in heaven eternally." Let me tell you, Christian friends, it's wonderful to have a Father like that, who loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son out of the glories, out of the majesty of heaven, to be on earth, to be kicked around, to be hurt, to be insulted, to be nailed to the cross. That was real God. That was real God on that tree. Real God and real man. He did that because that Father said, I've got something better for you. But you can't have it if you present yourself as a sinner to me. But I'm going to make a remedy for that. I'm going to send my son, your brother. And in next week's sermon, you'll hear about, we're going to be talking about Jesus primarily as your brother. But your brother hears what God wants you to know and what God has in store for you. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that wonderful? He could have just well said, well, if you are good boys and good girls, you go to heaven. Well, there's no such thing, because that would be earning heaven and that would be denying Christ. No, we get to heaven in spite of how sinful we are. But our Father has made that possible because he said to his son, son, you're going on earth. You're going to be born through Mary, and you're going to have a stepfather who's going to be there watching over you too. But you're going to be very God and very man while you're on earth. And so Jesus has a right to say, after he left on earth, I go to prepare a place for you. And when we think about this, we sometimes have to think, as we think of the majesty of heaven, or we think of how we've fallen into sin and disgraced ourselves and disgraced our God, that we can almost say, oh Lord, I love you, and I do things that are wrong, and I don't want to do things that are wrong, but you've prepared a place for me, and you've forgiven me. And so then sometimes our prayer is, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. But we're going to inherit heaven. And that is forever. Oh, we may have some inheritance here on earth from our parents, but it's nothing compared to the inheritance that our wonderful Father in heaven has for us. Listen to what the will says. These are thrilling words. Listen. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed. He's talking about you. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And there we go back to the glorious realization that God, before he ever made the world, already chose you to be his child. And he worked out all of that, whatever way it must have been. And then he says, I'm going to take you home to be with me. I want you to be with me forever. Jesus says that too. And so we have that wonderful realization. You, the saved elect, God's people, were elected from the foundation of the world, and as a child of God and as a child of the Father. The world, ungodly world, cannot call him Father because they do not have the relationship which comes through the Son, and that is Jesus Christ. You don't know what a wonderful, wonderful position you and I have. Children of the Almighty Creator in heaven, who in a beautiful, wonderful way loves you personally. If you love Jesus, then God is your Father, and heaven is your future home. Oh, there'll still be some hard knocks while you and I are here on earth, but we do not face them alone. We face them with our Father, who loved us. We read in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Don't think it's great that, oh, I am a good Christian, I believe in God. That's wonderful, but that's nothing compared to his love for us. Isn't that tremendous? That's God love. You can't beat that. And this is what the Father tells us. Sometimes when we are at our wit's end, and that happens to us in many times, we may have to just separate ourselves from the world and talk very earnestly to God. something that really hurts, something that really is extra special, and you want God to listen to you. I'm going to give you an illustration. I don't think I've given it to you here before. It's a very personal one, and it's all true, every moment of what, because this is from my own experience. Years ago, when my oldest son was less than a year old, he was critically ill. We took him to the hospital, my wife and I. The nurses and the doctors there worked on him for 4 or 5 hours, and then the nurse came to us and said, "You may as well go home. We're going to be losing him tonight." I went out and I talked to my Father in heaven. I pleaded with him. I said, "No, God, I've dedicated Jack Jr. to becoming a minister. He's going to be a servant of yours. Don't take him." It's hard for me even to relate this, because this was a super special prayer. And we have these. We stayed in the hospital for a while, and I asked the nurse if they could call another doctor, and she said, "Well, he won't come." So we went on home. And then we got a phone call. "Come on back to the hospital. You can take your son home. He's just fine now." Well, there were more tears shed, and there were more prayers given. God, does he hear our prayers? Does he? You may have to go outside sometimes alone when nobody's around and knock on heaven's door, but you can talk to your Father. And it may be in desperate situations that you are, but he'll hear you. Why should we call upon our Father? Because Jesus did, and he taught us this. I want to change part of God's word, and not really changing it, but identifying it. From the Psalm 23 in the Old Testament, when it speaks of Lord, speaks of God. If it speaks of God, it speaks of the Father. Listen, the way I'm going to give you the 23rd Psalm. "My Father is my shepherd, I shall not want. My Father maketh me to lie down in green pastures. My Father leadeth me beside the still waters. My Father restoreth my soul. My Father leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my Father's namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my Father is with me. And my Father's rod and staff, they comfort me. My Father prepares a table for me before the presence of my enemies. My Father anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And I will follow, and he will follow me all the days of life. And I will dwell in the house of my Father forever." That's the 23rd Psalm, up to date. And it's real. Nothing wrong with it. Not changing God's word, but just identifying, making it very personal for you. Do you know? Do you know this Father? You can only get to know him through Jesus Christ. Only when you get on your knees and say, "Oh God, oh Jesus, please change me that I may be one of your children." But if you are one of his children, he's your Father. And you are rich. You are rich. You have eternity far above anything in this world. And your Father's going to greet you. Now, Peter's not going to be at the gates of heaven. No, Peter didn't save you. Jesus is going to be there. And the Father's going to be there. And then he'll say to you, "Come into what you have inherited." Christians, that's your Father. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Our Father in heaven, what a glorious and wonderful realization that we are your children. Oh, Father, take us now, and may we, in all that we do, come to realize that we are your children and you are our Father. We surely thank our men's quartet. You couldn't have said anything more appropriate, and it's wonderful. And I want to say to those of you who are listening in on the radio that you're listening from the wonderful church, which is called Bethel Baptist Church. And we are located on Highway 101 and Tennant in Morgan Hill. Please come and worship with us in our church. Will you stand for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, now and forevermore. Amen. We are dismissed.